Hello and welcome to Techlandia. Techlandia is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcast for educators, podcast by educators. For more great content, please visit edupodcastnetwork.com. That's edupodcastnetwork.com. Hello and welcome to Techlandia. How are you doing today? I am John Samuelson, J to the O to the N. S to the M. I can't even spell my name. Whatever.
Wait, don't stop. I want to hear this whole thing. Keep going.
I don't know. I was just kind of freestyling it real quick. I'm in Portland, Oregon, where Portland, Oregon, and a slow gin fizz. If that ain't love, I don't know what is. You ever hear that song? Loretta Lynn.
I just did.
Portland, Oregon, and a slow gin fizz. That ain't love, babe. Then what is? That was Loretta Lynn's collaboration with Jack White from the White Stripes.
I do love the White Stripes.
Oh man, that was a good album. That Loretta Lynn album. I don't even think you can get it on Spotify. Over in Southern California, home of California love, Snoop D-O-double-G comes the original OG, and his name is S-C-O-T-T.
To the B, to the E, to the D, to the L, to the E, to the Y.
Bentley.
That was awful.
Well, that might
sound... Sorry to everybody that likes hip-hop music.
I think we were really hitting it until my bad one. What are you drinking tonight, Scott? Are you drinking a little vodka straight on the rocks?
Yeah. A little ice water on the rocks.
I am drinking my antioxidant infusion of...
Is that a Blab drink? Is that what it says, Blab?
Yes, it does. It is. It's the official drink of Blab. Our new sponsor, By Five.
By the way, John, this is unfortunately the last glass of water I'll have in California. Just saying.
Poor California.
Chip some down, man.
It is sad. Okay, speaking of sad, ready? I know a person, and I will leave this story out. We're gonna go right into education tonight. I know a person that took over a school. Okay, second day in as administrator, doesn't really know the staff, doesn't really know the culture, doesn't really know anything yet. Sees a teacher doing the daily five and says, "You know what? I don't think we're going to do the daily five. At my old school, we were really successful when we all scheduled reading at the same time, kindergarten through fifth grade, and we all did the basal reader at the same time." Now.
Wait, this is fictional, right? This is a fictional story?
This is a fictional, real story. I don't really know the person, but I've heard the story retold, and it's a true story. So not fictional. Happened this year. What do you do in that kind of a situation? It'd almost be like, Scott, if somebody got really, really mad at you because you gave optional homework, say. Just saying. Right?
And Jameson says, get your pitchfork.
So, I mean, all right. So let's just talk about how many ways this is wrong in the first place. But let's just start with the administrator. As an administrator, can you really come in second day of school? I mean, you've been there for like a month, let's assume. You've been working the month of July. It's August. You're just starting. You're just kind of going around doing your observations. And already you're going to pop in and start making ultimatums.
Yeah, I mean, you don't even know the community. You don't need to know the students, the families, the staff. That's part of it. I know some people say, hey, administrators, wait a year before you do your changes and then hammer them down or something like that. But I think it's really about administration taking the time to get to know the staff and the community and then adapting to them. It's just like I would want to do in my classroom. I need to know my students, and then I'm going to adapt to where they're at and try to bring them along to where I want them to be, not come in and say, all right, everybody, you're all doing this. That's unbelievable.
It's kind of right. So even that part of it is unbelievable a little bit to me. And right, it's when I was teaching, I used to love doing like fantasy football math, right? And we would do fantasy football math. We'd do little drafts. We'd do all this stuff. We'd do little writing, design some helmets. So most of the kids liked it, you know. But then I was in a class 1 year where they weren't sporty at all. You know, they didn't, it didn't really hit with them.
Right.
So what, do I keep forcing it on them? No, I just went, psh.
Well, it's sports. Of course you did.
right. Of course. It's Texas. It was sports. Of course I forced another thought. But no, I mean, we didn't. We did an ESPN skateboarding. No, I'm just kidding. But but we just didn't do it. And save it for another year if you like it, or, you know, but I don't think that you can force stuff like that. And just because it worked at one school 1 year doesn't mean it's going to work with this crew, these people, right?
This just in.
Father Tim.
He is now forcing his students on survival, like, adventures. Because. Yeah.
Ropes courses?
No.
No.
You know, Tim's unbelievable. He's actually, we always joke about Tim, but he is truly the best teacher I've ever known, ever. And I don't say that joking at all. He really is an amazing, incredible teacher.
We are taking up a GoFundMe for Tim Bedley, though. And we would like us all to chip in a nickel here, a dime there, and we can upgrade his Wi-Fi to an actual speed that can hold like a video stream at his house, because unfortunately he doesn't have that. He blames the system when really the system ain't broke. We know that Father Tim, all right, you might fall off the treadmill when you're listening to this, but I'm about to give you $10 just so I can watch the Bedley brothers like run smooth, flawlessly. And it's called call your local cable provider and get some new internet. Come on, dude, just upgrade it a little bit. I'm getting it for, you know what? I'm on FanDuel right now. If I win $10 on FanDuel, I'm shipping it straight to Tim Bedley.
We only need it for this month too. I mean, we have like a bazillion shows this month. So.
Right. Upgrade it, Tim. Upgrade it. Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. His Wi-Fi was not kicking. Some of them. And I, you know, not that I watch every Bedley Brothers. Like the other day you asked me to watch the Bedley Brothers and I was like, no, I'm a red-blooded male. I'm going to watch college football on a Saturday afternoon.
You missed two great shows, though, John.
Ugh. Well, I mean, I'm sure they're all great. But you know what? The miracle of podcasting? You can listen to them. Nobody's watching this show.
See, but you have to wait a couple of months before you can actually.
John says you're watching Paw Patrol. We did a Paw Patrol sound effect. Paw Patrol, Paw Patrol.
From what I heard from Marnie, he was watching Paw Patrol.
I can't get enough of Chase. He's on the case.
Hey, listen, John, though, like for that administrator to actually do this, and you told me the story of Voxer, and I was just a little bit shocked, and to know that not only did they come in and say they were changing things, but number one, they said they wanted the person to get rid of the Daily Five, which is an incredible program, and go back to like everybody reading from the Basil Reader, like, which clearly
just kill the joy of reading right there.
Yeah,
right. That's how, and right, and then that's the second part of the system. The second part of the equation is that would just tell me right there that my new administrator, if you wanted to not win me over, that would just tell me that my new administrator doesn't know their tushy from a hole in the ground in education. Because if they don't know about the Daily Five and all the great, I mean, you were just down there with the two sisters. I mean, how much were people shelling out? How big was the room they were playing to? It was huge, right?
They had more people than Taylor Swift had.
That's right.
I'll tell you that.
I think they even brought out Phoebe. And Phoebe like came and did a guest appearance and then started giving books away like Oprah. You get a book and you get the new book and every what's the
they
name?
Were.
What's
they
the
were name? Giving things away like crazy. It was awesome. But I mean, it's just it. You know, there's a lot that's said about administrators being the instructional leaders on a site, but that doesn't mean that they are the general and commander of instruction, which is very different. You know what I value a lot about our administrator is that he came in, he got to know us, and he helps us get to where we need to be as a staff, and supports that by sending us to trainings, getting us the supplies we need, because he knows that we are doing everything we possibly can. We're not perfect, but we're doing everything we can to try to provide the best program for our kids that we can imagine. So, you know, to have an administrator go do that is just, I don't know.
I don't know what some of them are thinking. And, you know, the thing is, I'm glad that you have a good administrator now. And my track record, and Kurt Reese knows this, because I do know some good administrators. But I also know that in my personal experience, it's been few and far between with decent administrators that actually have, we were talking about this the other day, like vision, like a vision for what education should be, you know, and respect, like this wholesale, everybody has to do the same thing at the same time. I taught that in Las Vegas once in one of my schools where they did. Have you ever heard of the Success for All program?
I haven't.
Not that I'm trying to. I did see some results for some of the young kids. I was teaching second grade at that point, and we had a first grade. They did the test, and they were like first grade reading level. But the thing that they did that was not good with that, and we did it all at the same time, and it was all scripted, and the SFA police would come in and, you know, if you weren't on this part you were supposed to be on with all the timing, then they would, like, you know, give you 40 lashes or whatever they would do. And I don't know. But the thing that was the worst that my administrator didn't support me on was I said there were some fifth grade kids that read at a first grade level, and there were some resource kids. And so you had these fifth grade kids in with all these first and second graders, and some of them even kindergartners. They didn't want to be in there. So all they did was cause discipline problems and just do whatever they could. You know, like a fifth, it's like my daughter and my first grader, they just set each other off because they know how to set each other off then. And so it was a very unsuccessful year with that program, and my administrator didn't back me up. And I'm like, you have got to get these boys out. I mean, these boys cannot function with kindergartners, first and second graders. It's just too demeaning to them. It's not fun. I mean, we would, like, you know, choral read like books that were really basic, and fifth graders, that's not teaching them the love of reading. That's teaching them to hate reading.
Right. And the but next see, year, that kind of a program is built around what's best for teacher or administrator or district curriculum coordinator. It's not what's around what's best for kids. And that's, I think that's where you see those kind of scripted curriculum maps, everyone on the same page, all those. That's not about the kids at all. That's about making things manageable for all the adults, which, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, so I won't completely bag on the program. I'm sure it's still around, and I'm sure they've had to modify it. But the next year, I took those same second graders up to third grade and had one of my best. That was one of my worst years of teaching. Took the same class up to third grade. That was actually one of my best years of teaching after I looped up with them. And I went to the books that were a little bit more, you know, complicated then. So, like, the books where you could actually, like, do some writing and predicting and things like that with the reading program. So when it isn't like, you know, Jack, you know, sees Spot. Spot has the ball. I mean, just reading those time and time again and having the kids, like, verse them and recite them back to you makes you want to just jump. Jameson says that's his favorite book. Makes you just want to jump, you know, off a bridge. John jumps off the bridge.
Jump.
Jump.
I thought you were coming with Chris Cross jump. After that.
Oh, Chris Cross. Don't start again. Don't start with the fake Betty White stuff. I know that one of them has passed away.
John, I don't know if you saw this, but I tweeted it at you, and you didn't really respond. But
okay,
there is reports out there that kale is actually very dangerous and highly toxic. And it came, I checked this time, it came from a very, very reliable source in Cosmopolitan magazine. It's basically that kale soaks up more of the toxic metals that are in the ground than any other, like, leafy green that we eat. And so when we're eating it, so just don't tell Tim this, because he's, it's going to absolutely, like, the walls are going to fall down on this one.
Wow.
I'm not even kidding. Yeah. Thallium poisoning. There's high levels of aluminum. It's just kale is the, what? Everybody just needs to go back to Pop-Tarts.
Oh, I've got Pop-Tarts right now downstairs. Of course, look at me. I'm like body by Pop-Tarts right here. You know what, though? I think that we've now hit the nail on the head. Maybe we don't need to crowdsource for Tim Bedley. Maybe he has eaten so much kale that the thallium and aluminum are in his bloodstream right now and breaking up his Wi-Fi. Maybe he's.
I don't know if he has a Wi-Fi. I think he's working off an antenna.
Or you know what? I'm just going to get him. I'm just going to get a bigger carrot for the hamster to spin the wheel for him. You know. Because poor Tim, with that Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on over at his house, but it's never been bad in the past.
I think I'm gonna.
I still think it's Google Hangouts, but that's just me.
I think it's a job for the Angels. We'll send over Charlie's Angels and see what's wrong with the Wi-Fi at the Bedley household. North.
Who's the best science teacher that we could send? JRGO? He could figure it out.
Yeah, Mr. Wizard. Should we send? Yeah, is JR in the area? We can get him over there, right?
He's somewhere close.
Oh, he's just a tech coach now. A science tech coach. Those guys don't do anything. Those coaches, they just lounge around all day and philosophize. I think. that's what I've heard. Right? Isn't that what Ruben said he's just doing now? He's just roaming around, philosophizing. Maybe enroll a Chromebook here, enroll a Chromebook there. Here a Chromebook, there a Chromebook. And then
everywhere.
Yeah, then take a nap. Oh, Ruben Hoffman. Ruben Hoffman, we should have him on the show sometime.
Yes.
Is he grumpy teacher worthy?
Of course.
Okay. What should we do about Techlandia, Scott? What should we do? Should I start scheduling people? I mean, this is Techlandia right now. We're just grumpy old teachers, basically. I could just change the whole station.
Is this Techlandia?
Yeah, I think it's like a branch of the Techlandia family.
What are your three things for three Twitter followers? Who are your three?
Yeah, let's give three Twitter followers right now. Who would you? Right. All right. Let's do that. Let's go. Let's hit the rewind button. Okay, give me a Twitter follower right now that you've bumped across in the last couple of weeks, Scott. Who would be your Twitter follower? I'm going to look at mine right now.
Oh, you're putting me on the spot to go first?
Oh, okay. All right. You know what? I'll kick it off for you.
Yeah, would you?
Okay.
I do have someone, though.
You do? Uh-huh. Well, then you go, and then I'll kick it off afterwards.
Oh, this is really interesting for people to hear us debate who's going to share their Twitter follower first.
Okay. So I'm going to say that – all right. So here, I'm going to give you one. I just bumped across the other day. And I was introducing one of our people, Steve Simpson. Now, if you look at, whoa, and I just like zoomed in. I don't know how my Mac just zooms in on things. It's like I can look at it and it zooms in. Talk about Charlie's Angels theme music. So there's this guy, Steve Simpson. So his name is Simpson Steve, S-T-E-E-V, almost like Stevia. That I was watching the finale of Breaking Bad, and boy, Stevia plays a big role. I don't want to spoiler alert it for you, but Stevia, watch out for it. That's the best part at the end. But so I was talking about, you know, I said to him, I said,
Steve, wait, you totally lost me. I'm thinking of the like sweetener, Stevia.
Yeah, Stevia. Did you not watch Breaking Bad?
No.
Why have you not, dude? Why do I have to enlighten you so much on the world out around you of fine arts? Breaking Bad. Stevia, yeah. There's this one lady that always puts Stevia in her coffee.
Gotcha.
And then, speaking of thallium poisoning, Mr. White poisons her and puts some, you know, puts it in there, puts the ricin in there and kills her off. Okay. That's Lydia. But so if you don't know, if you didn't watch Breaking Bad, Lydia dies at the end.
Spoiler alert. Wait, hold on.
Spoiler alert. Do you have a sound effect? So, okay. So I was tweeting about my, one of my new, office people, Steve Simpson. And so Steve spelled his name kind of funny, but so I said, you know what? I'll tweet this out because it's guaranteed to get at least three followers for you. Right, Steve. And so then this other person came in, and her name is Julie S C A J. And so it's Shy J is her Twitter handle, Shy J. And so she says, Scott, and I didn't know about this, that they've been doing some kind of a new to Twitter chat for like 2 years now. And I had never heard of it before. So the Twitter hashtag to follow for her is NT2T.
Oh, 2 years?
I think that's what she said. And I'd never seen her. And so she...
I've seen that like in the past maybe 3 or 4 months, but 2 years?
Oh, I haven't even seen that. Well, I thought that's what she said. So anyway, but so there's Julie.
Just tweet at Craig. Yeah, and he knows.
Yeah, how would Craig... Yeah, let's tweet at Craig. Yeah.
He's been on there. I've seen him on the NT2T
I'm sure he has.
Chat.
He's like the ambassador of Twitter. So anyway.
I do Twitter.
So that's what I would say. So if you could follow Simpson Steve, S-T-E-E-B... He would. I'm going to get him to tweet now. That's his next step. But at least he made an account and he did some, you know, he did the picture and all that. But Julie S-Z-A-J. So how would you say S-Z-A-J? Saj?
Yes.
And she's Shy J. That'd be my Twitter. She was very nice and said, oh, thank you. And so I followed her.
I got one.
Okay. Give it up.
Her name is Renee Pena. Enriching Kids. At Enriching Kids.
Enriching Kids. Okay. I'm writing it down.
Yep. Enriching Kids.
How did you bump across her?
Just on Twitter, and I think she popped into a blab one time.
Oh, really? Yeah. One of our blabs? Or one of your blabs?
I forget which blab. Brothers? I think that like a Bedley Brothers blab.
Those are way more.
That's hard to say.
Way more popular. Well, how come
the blood blab?
How come it was so hard for me to say S Z A J? Like that was like I couldn't get the S and then say the letter Z. That's not a tongue twister. I don't know.
It's old Sunday
age.
Night.
It's old age setting in. I'm now old. Hey, you know it's Marnie's birthday tomorrow. Marnie, my
wife.
Happy
birthday, Marnie.
Guess what we're doing?
In times like these, you learn to live again.
Should I go see the opening? I don't want to say, I like the opening person, but I don't think I want to go that early.
Who?
Gary Clark Jr.
Oh.
He's from Austin though, so I think I've seen him before. He's good. Father Tim says what?
Father Tim. Did you know he's a drummer, by the way?
I know he's very musically talented. He's rocking the standards.
His whole family's legit musically. But he's learned to take his drumsticks and actually start a fire now.
Ooh, that's nice.
Which is pretty amazing.
I think it's kind of spooky. I think I like the Exorcist sound effect the best out of the new sound effects. Oh, look at that. John says, is NT2T, is that a new Star Wars character? That sure could be. How about all the new Star Wars stuff that's out there, Scott? Are you geeking out at all the new Star Wars stuff that's out?
I'm trying to restrain myself until mid-November.
I really find it like, but then it's like little Star Wars figures. And I can remember going to Toys R Us and getting the old Star Wars figures from like 1977, 78 or whatever. I would like take the bus over there. Because in the 70s, when you're 8 and 9 years old, of course you just take the bus places because it was the 70s. Nobody cared.
That's right.
You know? But, and we'd go and you'd try and get all the little action figures and things. Gosh, I wish I had saved those. But
I still have mine.
Do you have yours?
Yeah, I'd go to a place called Woolworth's. Five and Dime.
Oh, I know Woolworths, yeah.
And they would always have those. Like, and nobody went there to buy anything.
Poor Woolworths.
And I would buy it. I would buy all my Star Wars figurines there and go home and should have kept them in the boxes, right?
Okay, now this says a lot about you right here. Who's your favorite Star Wars character? I know my
favorite
right
Star Wars character?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I mean, that's pretty easy.
Okay.
Jabba the Hutt.
Oh, Jabba the Hutt.
No,
you're with a guy of my size. Okay, good for
it's
you.
It's Han Solo, man. Han Solo. I mean, how do you not love Han Solo?
I do. I love them all.
Han Solo.
My favorite was Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, it wasn't.
No, my favorite was always Boba Fett. I was a big Boba Fett booster.
Yeah, Boba Fett was cool, but he was not much. He wasn't really much in it.
Yeah, no, I know, but in those little brief parts.
Until he got eaten like alive by the like sand monster thing off of Boba Fett's deal. Hey, Jake Duncan's in the house.
Jake Duncan. Got the Texas people in the house. So, yeah, Boba Fett was always my favorite. But, yeah, if I had to go, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I would probably go, yeah, you got to go Han Solo, I think. Boy, how about that trailer? And then all of a sudden, he pops in. Yeah. I mean, you're like you're watching the trailer, and you're like, wow, this is cool Star Wars. And then right at the end, Harrison Ford and Chewbacca, and you're like, oh, dun, dun, dun.
Jameson Luke at Jameson Luke on the Twitters. He's here while listening right now, but he shared the funniest Star Wars preview video where it's this. Like this priest, I don't know where he's at, somewhere in the United States, and he films himself watching the
Star Wars. Oh, I saw that one. That was pretty viral. Yeah, I saw that. It was hilarious. I think you might have been the one that shared that with me.
Yeah, Jameson shared that one with me.
Oh, Jameson.
Every single good video I get, John, is from Jameson.
That's right. Well, we were talking about that earlier before you got on the air. We were saying that in O Magazine, in fact, if you squeeze some lemon juice over it, in the invisible ink, it says, really, we wanted to talk to Jameson, but Scott was there, so that's where it says right there in this issue, the September issue of O Magazine.
No longer on the shelves at grocery stores near you.
Are you going to autograph that for me?
Am I going to autograph? I'm going to tear it up.
No, you better autograph it for me. I'm not kidding. I want an autograph.
Oh my gosh.
Speaking of autographs, tell your story because you want to tell your story real quick, and you have to make it quick because a lot of people say they don't like the sports stuff. So tell us your story. You're walking through the grocery store about to buy
something. Oh, well, no, I went down to get some stuff.
What store?
I barbecued today. I went down to a store called Albertsons. I don't know if everybody has this out there. Albertsons,
of course we do. Okay.
Okay. And I get out of my car and I see this guy loading groceries in and getting his young son into the car. I'm like, that's Adam Kennedy. That is the Adam Kennedy from the 2002 World Series champion Anaheim Angels of Los Angeles, of California, of Southern California, of Orange County. And I'm like, hey, Adam Kennedy. He's like, yeah. I'm like, I loved every second of 2002, man. Thanks for the memories. And he's like, yeah, me too.
Say my name.
Did you say that too?
So, yeah. He hit three bombs in one game, and the third one was like right maybe two rows ahead of me. I went to every single game that year. It was awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You do, you know, and
it's the same way John's going to feel. John Portier's going to feel when he goes to see. Wait, no, Houston's not going to make the playoffs. Sorry, John.
Houston is definitely making the playoffs.
They're this year's Kansas City Royals.
You know, you go through SoCal,
right?
There are you are bound to bump into people. Like we'd always go to Third Street Promenade or whatever. We'd go to Santa Monica or whatever because that's where one of the places you go. And if you're from Las Vegas and you're visiting. Right. And I saw you just see people walking in. You're like, oh my gosh, there's Dustin Hoffman pushing a stroller. You know, you're like, that's Dustin Hoffman. By the way, Dustin Hoffman was not in Star Wars, but that was a bet on Seinfeld.
So I've seen his audition tape. He did an audition tape for Star Wars, though.
Who's the last person I saw? I forget. But yeah, there's just so many. You see a lot of people, and that's
William Dafoe.
No, I never saw Willem Dafoe. But I would like to see. I did. I saw William.
Gary Busey, did you see his audition tape? I saw
William Dafoe, but not Willem Dafoe.
Gary Busey auditioned for the role of Lando Calrissian.
You know what? Nobody played it better than Billy Dee. That is Lando is a good, smooth character in that movie.
He's pretty dope.
Billy Dee Williams, the man. Only other thing I ever saw Billy Dee Williams in was that movie with Diana Ross. You ever see that one? I'm going over
here. He's on Down the Road. Is that one?
There's like this old movie with Diana Ross, and she sings like, "Do you know where you're going to? Do you know where you're going to? Do you like the thing?" You know what I was watching today on PBS too? They're doing a big drive for Simon and Garfunkel. They were doing that concert in the Central Park in 1981, and I just thought
Was it crowdsourcing like a crowdsourcing a haircut for?
They were saying they said you could, if you sponsored Oregon PBS, you could get the DVD and CD remaster of the Simon and Garfunkel concert. And I was like, I don't have either one of those in my house. CD player. I have one in my car, I guess, CD player. Oh, man, that's pretty funny, though. You know what my favorite Simon and Garfunkel song is?
No, I don't. How in the world would I know that, John?
Can't touch this. That was a little known fact. Can't touch this. You didn't know that Simon and Garfunkel sang that one?
I thought they just wrote it.
Rick James.
You know who's one of probably the most prolific songwriters ever in the history of songwriting?
Ellen DeGeneres.
Yes.
No, who? Tim Bentley.
Neil Diamond.
Neil Diamond, yeah. Oh, come on, Neil Diamond. Have you ever seen him in concert?
I have seen him in concert. He was a showman.
Like old like us, you've always seen Neil. Everybody's seen Neil Diamond in concert.
He was a showman. I was in high school, and I went to that show, and I was like, oh, really? I'm going to go to the show. But I was going, you know why you do things in high school, like see Neil Diamond?
Yeah, I was going to try and impress a girl or just be around girls.
That's right.
I think I saw one time, I was just telling Marnie this, I went and saw like Alabama and the Oak Ridge Boys. Do you know how much I like country music? Not really that much, but the girl that I wanted to date liked them, so I was like, yeah, I'll go, sure.
Love those guys. Every single one of their albums.
Play me some mountain music.
Oh, gosh.
But yeah, so Neil Diamond, you know, I used to watch The Jazz Singer all the time on cable when I was like 9 and 10. That's a good, the America at the end. Today, and then just the handout. Today, if you haven't seen the Neil Diamond Jazz Singer, yeah, you need to go see that. Go live your life. Live your life. Hey, I don't know why this turned into like music.
Speaking of old 70s movies, did you know that Smokey and the Bandit was on tonight, John?
I've been watching Smokey and the Bandit. Yeah, it's great. This movie's awesome.
So classic.
I had no idea that, you know, when you're watching that when you're little, they're just trying to bootleg Coors Beer. Come on. I mean, what's going on with that? It's just Coors Beer. But you know what? Back in the day, I guess Coors Beer was a delicacy. That's what I learned from Smokey and the Bandit. And that I love Paul Williams, who coincidentally is on the new Daft Punk album.
Oh.
Hashtag not joking. So, if you haven't listened to that one, yeah, Paul Williams.
I have not.
We have totally digressed into not. All right, let's go one more education thing. So, we did our, what would be your app right now? If we did our Twitter followers, what would be your app right now, Scott? I'm going to look at mine besides my, after I drop my phone. I'm going to look at my phone here.
What would be my, the app that I think is?
Yeah, what's your latest app that you're excited about or you're kind of wanting to try out a little bit? What's that for you? Besides
my ESPN Fantasy Football.
I did just download that one. That one goes away in January and somehow makes its way back onto my phone in September, yes.
I've been downloading a lot of like art style apps. So like there's one called Brushstroke and one called Art Rage that I've been playing with a little bit. I downloaded BookTrack. This is like a third time I've downloaded it.
Okay.
To try to see if it's interesting at all. But you know the one that I share that most people know? I mean, I think a lot of people know this one.
Okay.
But the people that don't and they see it, they absolutely love it. It's Bitmoji.
Yeah, Bitmoji is cool.
Yeah, everybody loves
Bitmoji. Yeah, everybody loves the Bitmoji. Yeah,
but other than that, not much.
What does BookTrack do? Is that the one that kind of sums up the books for you?
No, it has music playing as you read.
Okay.
And it has like a soundtrack to it.
Okay, here's the one I saw. Okay, so then I'll give you two. So the one I saw that for you busy people that are on the go, and it looks like it has a pretty extensive library, is this one called Blinkist. And Jake Duncan probably knows this one, but Blinkist, it's like a $30 fee for the year, but it's like the Cliff Notes for books. So if you wanted to read a book, but you don't really have the time, but you kind of want the main points, Blinkist goes through and does the Cliff Notes for just all these books, like Daniel Pink, for say. I saw it was one of them on there. Isn't that interesting? And so they said I didn't read it in the 3-day trial they gave me, but they emailed me and said they'd give me another 5-day trial if I wanted to. And then the one that I really want to try, and I started and I haven't finished yet, is Adobe Clip. Adobe Clip right there.
Yeah, you were talking about that.
Yeah, and I really want to. I've taken all, and I love the Adobe apps, and it's free. So I don't know. That's kind of the one I want to try out. So maybe we'll report back our findings. I'll definitely make an Adobe Clip movie this week, and then we will
report back. I would love to hear how that goes, because I think Adobe's been coming out with some pretty solid, fun apps for kids.
John says Paper 53 just went universal to the iPhone now. I guess it wasn't available on the iPhone before. That's a good one. You know who I know here, we'll do Edufamous Gong. Felix Giacomino did a great paper. He does great drawings on Paper 53. He did one for a presentation we did one time. It was really cool. I saved them all. Paper 53 is legit. Jameson says he's not a huge fan of the update for the iPhone. I don't know. Right. That's kind of one of the things I'm not sure. You know, some of the things maybe belong on the iPad. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what belongs on the iPad anymore. All I know is I was trying to re-image some this weekend, and I'm still not done. Holy cow. It is the did you do this? Did you do that? Do you sure you want to send out the iCloud? Are you sure you don't want to add a passcode? Are you sure you don't want to do that? I'm like, I just said that's what I want to do. If I was an old person, I would never make it through, like, redoing an iPad and resetting it over.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I'm not Apple announcement, Scott. I never watched it. I didn't even really watch the live stream feed. I kind of looked back at it. It didn't really announce to me anything that I wanted from Apple. I like the nicer camera on the phone, but then as I was looking for the phone for Marnie, and I think her contract's up next month, they weren't giving me any discounted price or anything for it. So I'm like, what, are they not discounting the price now? Are they trying to, they're trying to weasel me into, like, I can always have the newest iPhone if I pay a bunch more. And I think that's really what they're trying to do now. So now I can't even get, like, the iPhone for $299 with my 2-year contract. Now I've got to, like, upgrade every single time with the phone. I don't want to upgrade. I just got the iPhone 6 Plus. I don't want to upgrade to the S. I don't care. I'll wait till the 7. I don't know. That's just me. Sean, I'm grouchy.
No, you're just a rebel. I love it.
All right, let's see what John says. He says you pay the full price over to. Right. Are they going to like when I was looking at the watch, they were charging a bunch more, like if you did it in the payment plan. So if the payment
we just had this discussion at our lunchtime, or I don't even know, one of our breaks, the whole deal, when I went in to talk to the people at Verizon, this is exciting. This has got to be one of our greatest episodes.
I think people are all considering this, though.
So okay. So I went in to talk to the people. So they're taking the full price and they're spreading it out over 2 years. At least this is how Verizon's doing it. It may be different. Okay. A different one. But what they're doing is they give you a credit back. So in the end of 2 years, you will have paid that promotional $199 or whatever it is for the gigs that you buy. So you get that promotional price over those 2 years because of the credits back against your account. Okay. Now, if you want to trade in after a year and get the iPhone 7 or whatever, then you have to pay off whatever amount's left towards the full price that you haven't paid over those, you know, 12 months or whatever it might be.
Okay.
So you can still get that subsidized price. They're just not doing 2-year contracts. And it's 0% interest, at least on Verizon, 0% interest. And I'm trying to think what else. I mean, that's, you know, that I think that's really the basis for it, is they're trying to get rid of, like, those 2-year things, or just they're trying to get you to pay monthly. Maybe eventually they stop doing the little credits, whatever, so you're just paying for the phone over 2 years. But at the end of the 2 years, even with the subsidy, it's yours, you own it.
Okay.
So it's not like you don't own it after those 2 years.
Okay, it sounds like John says that's what AT&T is doing too. Yeah. I'm AT&T. See, what they always try and get me to do is they're trying to do anything they can get me to do to get me off unlimited data, because I'm grandfathered in on unlimited data. So any, like, change that I make, like if I want to make this a hotspot, can't do it. And so it's like, I feel like if I do this, they're going to be like, oh, no, no, you're off unlimited data. And I'm going to get gypped all the time, you know?
I don't know. And they took the data prices and dropped them a lot on Verizon's newest package. It was like 10 gigs was like over $100, and now it's down to like 80 or something like that. So they've substantially dropped the data prices, but there's still no unlimited. I don't know why you'd need unlimited though. How much are you really rolling per month?
So whenever I go in, I said, well, I don't know how, check it. How much do I use? And they look at me and they're like, no, you want unlimited. That's what they said to me. They're like, oh no, that wouldn't be a good deal for you. No.
Wow.
You know, that's how much I use.
Well, and so you can't use a personal, you can't turn your iPhone into a personal hotspot.
Nope. Can't do it. If I do that, then I'm ungrandfathered.
Wow.
Yeah. That's the, you know what? That's the man keeping us down, Scott.
AT&T is evil.
AT&T just keeping us down.
Whoever uses AT&T is just a fool.
Yeah, I know. I feel like it. You know, the U-verse, though, that we used to use down in Texas, that was pretty legit. I really liked AT&T, like the cable and the Wi-Fi. It was really good. That I have to say that system worked pretty well.
Is it?
Yeah.
No, I'm sure AT&T is good. I'm just...
No, I mean, but the coverage here stinks. You know how it is. Sometimes I don't even get my phone calls. It's like I'm in, like, my whole house is like some dead zone. And then I've even put, like, I bought a little $40 thing to put on the back of it. And the microcell is what I'm supposed to. I think I'm supposed to. I tried to get like a cheap one.
I think whenever, no matter where you want to use it, it's always going to be like pathetic.
Yeah, wherever I want to use it.
Wherever you don't want to use it, that's where it's like fantastic.
Yeah, that's great. Tim's house. Mine will work great. Then all of a sudden, Tim uses it and he's like, "Wait, what's going on?" It's Google Hangouts problem.
No. It is. Google Hangouts is not very good.
It's kale. I'm telling you, Tim, lay off the kale for a while. Go to more berries.
Hey,
berries is where it's at. Berries.
John, like the test scores are out in California.
Oh, right. Let's finish up with the test scores. That sounds good. What a great way to end on a
There's
high note.
There's like
here.
Looting and burning of like schools, mm-hmm. and I saw
it in Straight Outta Compton. I think that was when they got their test scores. They started.
It's like disaster everywhere. Yeah. Like there's crying and gnashing of teeth going on, mm-hmm. and you know, it's just. You know, it's hard to even imagine going to work tomorrow because the test scores are out.
Right. The sun's not coming up. It reminds me of that movie where it's like they lock themselves in the house and then for 24 hours people can just run around and do whatever they want. What is that movie? You know what I'm talking about? Is Christian Slater in that movie? He should be.
Christian Slater. Is that pump up the volume? No, I'm just kidding.
Pump up the. That's why I almost feel like I feel like we're living out our pump up the volume-ness now with all the podcasts and stuff and the blabs. Right.
We are
Christian Slater. We are. All
I just
tip of the hat to you, homeboy. We love you, Christian Slater.
I need a Jeep to drive around in and kind of finish off the podcast. And
well, you know, you remind me of something. You remind me
this
of
is
a
such
Jeep.
A setup.
That's a little R. Kelly for you.
Test scores
are out.
Yeah, on tests. Okay, so I don't think we get away from test scores ever, right?
No. No, you can't escape them.
I think they continue to stay valid when we as teachers continue to accept them as valid.
This should be the test score sound effect right there.
Yeah. No, I just feel like...
Yeah.
I feel like there's just, you know, I feel like it's like me and my fantasy football team. Like I pick Andrew Luck, first pick.
And he's a lame duck.
And he has his worst game in his career basically today. So Josh, stop it.
But he'll bounce back in like 7th and 8th grade then for his test scores.
I hope so.
Yeah.
But I just think as long as we feel bad, look at our test scores, worry about them, do any of that stuff and buy into it, mm-hmm. it just perpetuates this myth that they're actually a good measure of anything. And they're just not. I mean, they don't impact my teaching in any way as far as, like, I can't look at the scores, analyze them, talk about, you know, what could I do differently to help my kids learn better or learn more or be more effective in their learning. It's just, you know.
Well, you're not really supposed to look at the questions, right? I mean, you don't know what the questions are.
I don't. And you can't go look back and see, oh, look, my class was really bad here. Maybe I need to change the way my instruction goes in that. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
I always find that the ones that they would miss would be ones that I pretty much thought they had a good mastery of, and then you always wonder what the question was. Like right angles, let's say, in fourth grade math. You know, it's like they don't know what a right angle is. That's like the first thing we cover in fourth grade, and it's the first thing we cover, so we constantly review it all year long. Right? Like we like a little bit here, right. A little bit there. Like, you know, it's like it's fair game all year long to be asked, like, what's an acute angle? You know, how many degrees is a straight angle? All that stuff. And then I always feel like they're like, yeah, they missed that's like my worst, like, little thing on the little column. And you're like, that really?
Seriously?
Oh, right. And then you're just like.
And then you look and you see how many questions were on the test. Oh, two.
Yeah.
Oh, and all the kids missed the one because it was really weird.
Right,
so.
Because it's probably
worded. I look really horribly.
Right, exactly.
So that's what it's just like. We have to stop letting that be the judge of us.
Yeah.
And yet it's so hard because the newspaper comes out with it. You know, people write articles. Politicians start talking about it. Parents worry that, you know, oh my gosh, my kid's not getting a test score. It doesn't even impact their child one bit. For their success or failure or anything. It doesn't have any impact at all.
Mm-hmm.
But we still validate them when we talk about them in staff lounges. We validate them when we worry about them. We validate it when it takes even a moment of our time, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
I know. And then that's the thing. And then I feel like, I'm not saying this to incriminate anyone, but I know teachers that kind of shut down teaching and then go into full-on test preparation mode for like months, and then they're rewarded with really high test scores, and the principals and the administrators all know that that teacher got really high test scores, so then they're like walking on water, you know, and you're like, really? Because I don't know. It just seems interesting to me. But yeah, it seems like that was the one where one of my administrators came in first year. We'll make a nice big circle, a nice 360-degree circle right here. I remember when one of my administrators came in and gave me just a horrible mid-year, like, evaluation kind of thing. I was like, but it wasn't because of the lesson I was teaching that he came in for. It was because I had given them the baseline, you know, standard. We do at the beginning of the year, the middle of the year, that Texas would release their test scores. So it's like the benchmarks, right?
Right.
So, but we could give them a full on Scantron with the benchmarks, and then we would scan it into the little scanner / printer thing, and then those would upload to our system, our data system. And you could see the test scores. They were just pretty much out there for everybody. It was supposed to help you focus your instruction, right?
Right.
And so he just lambasted me because my scores were so low. And I kind of looked at him and I said, and this person had only taught for 3 years. And I looked at him and I kind of was like, you do realize it's January. They haven't really gone through the whole curriculum yet. Like the book, we're not through the whole book. So why would they know the entire fourth grade end of the year test? Because that's basically what we're giving them in the middle of the year. We're giving them an old released 3 years ago math test for what they should know by the end of fourth grade. And here I am giving it to them like the day after, you know, winter break. And this guy's lambasting me because they're lower than he thinks they should be. He doesn't think I'm going to get them there. Yeah, and so finally, I just looked at him.
It's about the test. It's not.
Right. It's about the test. And finally, I just looked at him. I said, look at mine from last year then. Because he didn't know. And then he looked at him from last year. He's like, oh. And I'm like, I believe that this is no different than any of my other years. You could page back another year if you want. Because the thing was, in the grand scheme of things, the last school I taught at, they were all really smart kids with really great families. Their parents were engineers and dentists and doctors, and they were super smart. They would have been fine with any kid. And in fact, here's a little fact. My first fourth grade year, they're now seniors in high school, and my old teacher, Brooke Alkire, sent me back some stuff. Three of my 19 fourth grade students that I taught that year, that we've both taught that year, are national merit finalists. You know, and you know how rare that's like less than 1% of the high school seniors are national merit finalists. We had three between the two of us that we shared out of like 19 kids. I think we were okay. I think we were doing a good, but I don't take any credit for that. Those kids are just really brilliant. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Like when I see that, I just was like, and then the other one that we didn't deal with that we did, who's on the other side of the hallway that we didn't deal with him. He won my spelling bee 2 years in a row that we organized. And so I always kind of felt a little special bond with him too. He is my first and second spelling bee winner. And he was also on the list. And I was like, that's cool. I like it when you can see stuff like that, you're like, that's cool, but I'm not really taking any credit for that.
Right.
I just think it's kind of a cool little fact, you know,
right.
Three of your kids are, you know, they're still doing the work they're supposed to be doing. That's good. I thought they were all very good students back when I had them, and what they weren't good at was what those students weren't good at was accepting that they could make a mistake. You know, and so then I would try and get them to understand. I'm like, guys, you're not going to get every question right. I mean, those kids would shoot for 100% on those standardized tests.
Well,
if they didn't get it,
the problem is you can't. It's like a presidential election, right? You can't say that one president would have done better because you can't. You can never prove that. You can say it all you want, but you can't prove it because one person's going to be the president and they're going to do the things the way they do. Same thing here. Like, your kids take that test, they score what they score. You can't, like, take them back, run them through fourth grade with another teacher to see if they score better on that.
Mm-hmm.
And since the content curriculum is different from grade level to grade level, there's different challenges, there's different learning, there's different there's not a fair comparison in this whole standardized testing thing. It's really just a sense of just trying to hold people accountable that are adults. It's not about kids. And it probably shouldn't be about kids. It's probably way too much about kids, but it's just you. There's no possible way to really look at a standardized test and say, oh, you know, because John, no matter what your kids scored, maybe with somebody else they would have scored way worse. But there's no way to ever know.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way to ever know those things,
mm-hmm.
And because. They're only going to be fourth graders that one time, pretty much, right?
Mm-hmm.
They'll only be fresh to the content one time.
Right. They'll only take that test that one morning.
Yep.
And hopefully that morning goes right. But what if that morning doesn't go right and they get up and...
But see, you never know if it did go right or go wrong.
Right.
Because you can't... I mean, there's no possible way to predict that because either they are what they are. They did what they did that day and that's it. And you don't know if it was better or worse because of you, ever.
Well, I know that some of them did a little bit better because if they got something wrong, I went like this. And then I would take them down to the torture dungeon. Do you know that every school has a secret torture dungeon that I've worked at? That's what I like to tell kids. That's how they get good test scores. No, no, no. What was that? Meanwhile, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I do know. The whole system is just broke.
It is broke. Yeah, I don't know. It's just amazing to me. So I wish I had had better. I'm glad you have a good administrator.
You're a great administrator.
I know many good ones in our school district. I know many good ones. So we'll see what we can do.
Here it is in September.
And we're talking about
testing because.
Talking about testing, Scott.
Talking about testing? What are you talking about? And we're talking about testing because the scores have just come out. But, you know, by the way, those kids are long gone.
Right.
I'm already into this year, and yeah. That's for sure.
We're talking about testing, Scott.
Talk about testing. You know what I'm doing tomorrow, John?
Okay, tell me what the plans are.
Tomorrow I'm going to be getting knee-deep into Canvas. That's what I'm doing tomorrow.
Are you really?
Yeah, I got an awesome – by the way, EdTech by Darren on the Twitters. He's coming over to our school. We're going to get knee-deep into Canvas and learn all the wonderful tools of Canvas.
Nice. You'll have to tell me how you like it because we are having LMS problems too. Hashtag – we think we need one now. Hashtag last year when we were looking, they didn't need one because nobody really understood. But we're going to move quick on it now. So it's kind of funny.
Is there like money that that districts get if they get an LMS or money they have to spend on the LMS? That's why they go for the LMS or?
I don't know how the whole thing works. It's a crazy mixed up world. All I know is that in North Carolina, I did hear that a little bird, Greg Garner, told me that Canvas is the statewide LMS for North Carolina. And if all they have to do is say that they want Canvas, and I think the state negotiated a price for them and they can put it in at their school.
I'm not surprised. Canvas is, I think, the leader for sure.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Our ed techs aren't so convinced, but we'll see what happens with it. And then the whole thing comes in, you know, Google Classroom. And I'm like, Google Classroom is not an LMS.
It's not an LMS.
It's not an LMS.
It's like a document management system.
Yeah. Jameson says Canvas must be making bank. Yeah, they are because they keep getting millions of dollars on fundraising things too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, you have to tell me how the Canvas goes. Maybe we'll look at it. I know we're piloting Canvas, but we have a bunch that are coming. We're going to look at everything, and then we're going to start rolling some stuff out. We'll look at your Moodle. We'll look at your Blackboard. We'll look at your Canvas. We'll look at your Schoology. And we'll start ruling stuff out quick.
And Edmodo's dead now, right?
You keep saying that Edmodo's dead, but I like Edmodo just to talk to teachers. That's what I use it for. John says death to Edmodo. You guys are trying to get me in trouble with Edmodo people. Come on, I like Edmodo. I go on there all the time and post Bedley Brothers episodes and say, listen to these great guys. That's right. I think I'm going to be Edmodo Sammy. In fact, let me go get that Twitter
Edmodo
right now. So, yeah, we'll see. Anyway, well, Scott, thanks for coming on. It was just about, 23 hours later than we agreed to before, but that's okay. That's all right. It works out all right. Talk cool. John's going to.
I like this, John. Keep going with this.
Okay. So, John Portier, here he comes with his top Kool-Aid drinkers. Gave teachers, Edmodo teachers. Keep going. We're going to give you the
comedy. Number two, Edmodo teachers.
Edmodo teachers.
In a world.
Number three, I think, should be like, number three, Voxers.
Voxers?
Voxers, by the way, I'm out of every single Voxer that involves more than one person, except for talking about sports.
That's not true.
It's not true?
Yeah, you're in one with Ruben and I. That's three.
Well, I mean, all right, more than three people then. Then you're going to say, well, there's that one you're in where Travis loves
Grumbo. Class Dojoers.
Class Dojoers, that's funny.
In a world where you give kids points on your iPhone.
I think top Kool-Aid drinkers is definitely Apple people, right? Mm. Not including them, John? Apple distinguished educators?
Applers.
Pinteresters, teachers pay teacherers, all those people. Yeah, it'll be interesting. All right, Scott. Well, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, John.
We appreciate you. Tell me who's coming on the Bedley Brothers this week with the poor Wi-Fi.
We just have, I think we only have one show scheduled this week, John, believe it or not.
Oh, gosh, stop the presses.
Reminders, yeah.
Reminders.
You need to move that one up a few there. I'm just saying. We have a doctor. We have Dr. Tony Wagner of Harvard Innovation Labs coming on. Believe it or not, it's Wednesday morning, 6:30 a.m., 6:30 a.m., John, this September 16th in the a.m.
Did you just say a.m.?
Yes.
Why? Where is he?
He's in at Harvard. He's in Massachusetts.
Harvard.
So he's going to be talking innovation. And if you haven't seen his TED Talk, that's what you can just say about everybody now. If you haven't seen their TED Talk, TED Talkers, put that on the list.
That's all the people going to watch the TED Talk.
No, it's a really good TED Talk.
No, I'm sure it's TED Talkers. That's definitely right. Yeah. Yeah. Once Carl Lindgrenstreicher did a TED Talk, that's when they lost me right there. They jumped the shark. Although I saw Carl's.
John, evening. What other things have jumped the shark for you? We need to have a jump the shark episode.
Okay, let's make that the next episode then. Let's make it the jump the shark episode. I'm writing it down right now. Jump
the shark. Put it in the doc.
The jumping the shark, it was cool. Then it tried to go too far, and now it's totally not cool.
Right.
Okay.
Like Happy Days, right? I mean, that's where the phrase come from. When Fonzie tried to jump the shark.
John's going to do the show right now, teacher blogging. That's funny.
Podcasting
is definitely
by old dudes.
Blabbing has jumped the shark. I've seen. What was the one we saw? The world's first blab teacher show. I'm like, all right, that's
John. I popped into a teacher blab show. I'm not even kidding. They had like 200 people, over 200 people watching.
Are you serious?
I promise. It was like 280 people watching their blab.
What were they talking about?
Technology.
Talk about technology.
They were talking about, do you want to know what they were talking about? They were talking about like mystery Skyping and stuff.
Mystery Skyping, we talk about that all the time. You're the number one mystery Skyper in the universe.
No, but I mean, the topics weren't anything.
Are you saying we need to talk about more technology stuff then that we know how to do?
No, I think we need to be not men. That's what I think we need to be.
Are we not?
No one wants to watch
us
talk about stuff.
Okay. I guess you're right.
I like to listen to our voices.
And we'll catch you. I'll just leave it there. Nobody wants to listen to us? And
no, we'll catch not you. Really.
Wait, I was
leading you jumping on that, John.
I was leading us out of the show right there. Yeah. We will catch you on the flip side.
You have been listening to Techlandia, a member of the Education Podcast Network. For more great content, please visit techlandiaradio.com and edupodcastnetwork.com.